Hey, what's up? It's Brian Scalabrine, the White Mamba, also 2008 world champion Boston Celtics. Now, you're listening to the Boston Big Three podcast presented by Ride the Wave Media.
Welcome back to Boston's Big Three podcast presented by Ride the Wave Media. Welcome to episode 92. We're closing in on 100. It's going to happen month or so, 2 months. We're closing in 2 months away. It's going to be fun. We're going to get the triple digits finally and be a real legit podcast that's still going. So 100 is going to be a fun milestone when we eventually get there. But welcome to episode 92 featuring myself, Brandon Watabe, King Babs, and the Spike King over there. Let's just start off immediately. Opening thoughts.
I am now officially vaccinated. I have both doses, and I got the second dose on Thursday, and Friday absolutely sucked for me, and I got hit hard. Felt like I got hit with a Mack truck. I had chills. I had the sweats. I like stood in the shower for half an hour with the hot water on me. I was miserable yesterday, miserable. So, and I know that people have talked about it, those that have gotten the second dose, and said that it's 50-50, whether you're going to get sick or not. And I was feeling out for the count. Today, I feel fantastic, but maybe it was a good thing we didn't record yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I would have been miserable. It was tired all day, but I did my part. I tried getting the vaccine when it first came out and I didn't, but you know what? It took a couple months. I'm there. This is my card to get into Celtics games now. I'm going to show this to Charlie Baker and say, let me in. Let me in, Marsh.
Have to get it laminated.
Yeah. Next month, they're going to let 10% capacity into the TD Garden. And you bet real? Your ass that
I'll be in Boston next week if that's happening.
And GRD will definitely be there. Yeah, you have to be at the first game. Like you have to be there for the first game in Boston. Since the ban last March, one year to date. Jeez. I want to be part of that first 1,000.
Oh yeah, you and me both. We'll definitely have to
Something out there for that.
But my opening thoughts: congratulations on getting your vaccine. I'm still. I've been on a waiting list for like 2 weeks now.
I still have my Band-Aid there too.
Oh, look at that.
I got it on the losing Super Bowl.
I was going to say, you should have got the other side. No. You got two wins on one arm, but that still works, I guess. It makes up for it, right? It makes up for the L on one arm. But my opening thought, UConn won today. UConn's finally playing good basketball again. I mean, they fell off the map. They were ranked, lost like four games in a row. It wasn't a pretty thing, but they beat Xavier for the first time in Big East play, so... It's a good time to be a Husky fan, especially with Big East leading scorer James Bouknight coming back in the near future. But this isn't the UConn show. This is Boston's Big Three. So we're going to hop right in. The Bruins are currently playing the New York Islanders. And we talked about it this to open the show last week. I'm trying to get a little more educated. The Bruins are so hot right now. They're scalding. Like, you turn the TV on and the Bruins are winning. It doesn't matter where they are. They're playing on the East Coast. Who they're playing? They're playing the teams like the Capitals, the Flyers, teams that are supposed to be contending. Even teams like the Lightning, they are dominating their division. Everyone, I feel like I kind of looked at their division the way the NHL is set up this season with the kind of division, so they don't have to travel as much. Like the East Coast teams aren't playing the West Coast teams, so the Bruins won't ever have to leave the East Coast this season, unless they're in the finals or however playoffs looks. I'm not quite sure yet, but the Bruins are winners of their last four or five games. I know they beat I want to say the Rangers a few nights ago, but they are currently leading in points in the at least the Eastern Division. I wouldn't be surprised if they're leading the NHL. Every power rankings has the Bruins on top, especially with the return of David Pastrnak. So if you're not already back on the Bruins bandwagon, if you were one of those guys that was upset at Tuukka Rask for kind of jumping ship and abandoning the team in playoffs, this team revamped, retooled, and is ready for another like cup run today. Later in the season, we were not so sure, but if they were to make the Stanley Cup final today, bees in four. It's a good time to be a Bruins fan again.
They currently have 22 points. They're actually 1 point below Toronto. It's again, Toronto, which being in the Canada, like they don't have to go anywhere. They get to stay home pretty much. Right. It's such an advantage this year of just not really having that travel going on. The Boston Bruins are the best team in Boston, period.
Oh yeah. Like, easily.
They're the number one team. And it's somewhat rare to say that because of the dominance of the New England Patriots. And then, you know, the Boston Celtics always creeping around here and there. I mean, I think the Celtics and Bruins have been very equal.
They're up there,
The
Celtics have been a few quarters away from the finals, a handful of.
But the Bruins just went to a Stanley Cup.
Exactly.
It's just like they're neck and neck. And the Sox will have their one good year and go to a championship, and then they just fall apart. But the Bruins are the team that you have to root for, and especially what's been going on with the Boston Celtics as of late, which we'll get into later. The Bruins just cannot lose. Like, they cannot find ways to lose games. Like, they are just doing it right now. It's amazing to see it.
I don't know if we talked about this last week when we were talking about our Bruins talk for like the first time in 3, 4, 5 months on the show, but they've been losing by two or more goals, three on a handful of occasions, and haven't lost any of those games in regulation. That's astounding.
Yeah, I mean, they're scoring. Like, let's just and just going back to Thursday, January 21st, right? Here's the goals that they've scored. 5, 6, 3, 4, 3. And then that's in January. Then in February, 5, 4, 2, 3. And then they just won 1-0. But they're scoring. Like, you're not winning these just 2-1 games, 1-2 games. Right. Like, they have to score in these games. It's one of these things that, they are giving up 3 goals. They're giving up another 3 goals. They give up 4 goals. They start getting that back down because your offense isn't going to score like that every single time. But just keep piling it on. And we don't know yet what they're going to do for playoffs, like the bubble and all that. But
as long as Tuukka plays this season.
I know he's got to win me over still. He's just got to win the Stanley Cup. And I will forever, I will go back and I apologize for everything I say, but
he's got to earn it
again with the Boston Bruins. And this is like hockey into basketball as well too. Like with the Red Sox, I'm like, don't talk to me till the All-Star break. Same thing with hockey. Like, don't talk to me till the All-Star break. Like, don't talk to me until midseason, and they're hot now, but then you can go on a cold streak. Right. Things can happen like that. So
guys get injured. The Bruins have been
as a whole over the last few years, just they're very consistent. Like, you know, they're going to get into the playoffs, but we'll talk when the playoffs come, because a 7-game series, it's equal. Doesn't matter if you're the 1 seed or like the 10 seed. Doesn't
matter. That's what's fun about hockey. You can see you can see 1 seeds fall. It's like a David and Goliath type thing.
But if you're a Boston sports fan and you want to watch winning Boston sports, you watch the Boston Bruins.
The Bruins are that team to cheer for right now. I did see, I'm not sure where this came from. It was either on Nesson or NBC Sports Boston, one of the local guys, about which of Boston's big four teams is going to win a title next. And the Celtics were overwhelmingly the favorite option. And I would have to say it's most likely the Bruins. They have that dominant core of veterans and young talent alike, whereas the Celtics don't really have a dominant veteran at the moment. It's like more dominant young guys that are still like becoming the best versions of themselves. When you look at the Bruins, they've already reached that point where they have some of the best versions of their players.
This is no means to be bad towards Zdeno Chara at all.
No.
But the fact that Patrice Bergeron is now the captain, who should have been the captain probably 5 years ago, is finally in that role. Man, how would that feel to win a Stanley Cup finally in your first year of being a captain with Zdeno out of here? And it's not a saying Zdeno sucks or anything. It's just you're now the leader of this team and you led the team and won a Stanley Cup. I mean, rightfully deserved. So I think that might be playing a little bit of part of it too.
Well, speaking of leaving Boston, Tom Brady won his Super Bowl last week, I think a week ago, almost today. But by the time you see this, it was a week ago, and it has been quite a roller coaster of emotions. I was cheering for Tom on Sunday. I think I feel very confident in saying we kind of talked about the outcome of this game, how he was overdue for a blowout win. I've been always on the train of that he's increasing his margin of victory in these Super Bowls consistently in all his winning teams. So it has been fun to kind of see what's going on, how the celebration differs from the Tampa Bay celebration versus a duck boat parade. It was unique to see that perspective because you're seeing the same cast of characters in Tom and Gronk that you're used to seeing on a duck boat. We saw them on duck boats 3 or 4 times together. And when you see them down in Tampa, they're not on duck boats. They're just on boats. And it was quite the thing to see. And it looked like the way they had it set up, this would be a good time to have Jay the Pats fan on here. Is I'm pretty sure that anyone who had a boat was kind of like on their boat, just kind of going through. I feel like based on what I saw, if you had a boat, you could have just driven down the river with Tom Brady and the rest of the Super Bowl champion Bucks and been like kind of part of the parade in a way.
We waited a week before we even filmed, like, just because you not only let the Super Bowl go by with everything that comes off after it with the last few days and plus every other sport going on, you don't want to really beat a dead horse. We kind of know what happened. I mean, it was a blowout game. I got to go back. I mean, I picked the Kansas City Chiefs to win, and I was completely wrong because they said it's going to come down to coaching. And Bruce Arians did not coach that game. That had nothing to do with Bruce Arians.
What do you mean? You think the head coach of an NFL team had nothing to do with a Super Bowl win?
Not Bruce Arians.
I don't know about that.
Andy Reid choked. Andy Reid absolutely choked. They had no answer for Tampa Bay. Yeah. And I cannot
see that. I will agree with
he was doing. I can't believe he's doing it. Like I'm not saying Bruce Arians won it. I'm just he didn't win it. He didn't lose it.
Yeah,
it was neither of that.
I agree with that. But he made the right choices. He didn't make any terrible decisions.
Yeah, he made the right choice to have Tom Brady like as your quarterback. Like, that's fair. And somehow learn Rob. Think about the people that score touchdowns: Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown. None of those guys were on Tampa Bay last year.
Yeah.
They come over there because of Tom Brady.
That's insane.
For Andy Reid's case, what his son did, and that's unfortunate, and I think that kid's still in critical condition. I have no idea. I haven't seen an update yet. You can't put that on the blame of why Andy Reid, like, they weren't ready. They just, and you can't put the whole, like, oh, well, Eric Fisher was out for the offensive line and the D-line kept getting to him. You had enough time to game plan and you knew it was going to happen, and the Chiefs looked lost. They looked exposed. And after that game, I was saying, wow, all right, you know, Brendan, like, this is the game where Pat Mahomes could be the poster boy of the NFL for the next decade. Kansas City could be running the table. They could be the next dynasty. Brady killed it. And it's not that it was a close game where it was like Russell Wilson in the Seahawks, like 28-24. They got demolished 31-9, 9 points in a Super Bowl. That is going to be very hard to shake off because you already have your Super Bowl ring. You already have your contract, Mahomes, but you only scored 9 points in a Super Bowl and you didn't even score a touchdown. That does not look good. And that starts the case of a crumbling team, because guess what? That Chiefs team, especially against the New England Patriots,
yeah,
they can hold their own against them. And now going into next season,
especially when you're paying 20% of your salary to one guy,
going into next season and you play the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs, I wouldn't be nervous. Like, I just, that team can get exposed. That team can easily get exposed. Right. And we saw that on the grandest stage of them all. And again, Tom Brady,
and it's not like Pat Mahomes lost that game either. Like, he was making the throws.
He tried staying in it. And it's kind of crazy because Tyreek Hill, like, one hit right off his helmet. There was a couple off of Kelsey's hands. Like, there was a couple of throws that could have been catches that could have changed the game and the outcome. I do wish the game was closer, but again, we said Brady deserved a blowout win. That fourth quarter felt like it lasted 35 minutes, 40 minutes, 45 minutes. It was just dragging along.
They're
like,
just
you
trying to claw their way back into it. Bucks were just trying to hold their own and hold the lead.
And it stings because, yeah, I'm happy. Like, trust me, I want Brady to win. Like, I was never going against Brady. I was going against the team, the Tampa Bay.
But you picked against them.
I did pick against them because the producer told me to pick against them. We can't have two people.
Me? You can't pin that on me. I never told you that.
Picking the same team. One has to play the opposite side.
You don't have to.
I play the opposite side.
Just look at Chris and Joe. Chris and Joe will pick the same teams all the time. It's totally fine. If you think a team's going to win, you think a team's going
to
win.
No, you need to have an opposite side. If you pick one way, I got to pick the other way.
No.
It's just a couple things. Shady McCoy, back-to-back Super Bowl champion, didn't take a snap in either Super Bowl.
Wow.
Awesome for him.
That's the dream, isn't it?
the Tampa Bay Bucks, now that they have won a Super Bowl, and I know there's some worry about their cap space, you already have guys like Mike Evans coming out saying, I will take a pay cut to keep some of these guys here. You have someone like Adrian Peterson, who does have a little juice left in his legs, that says, I'll go and play the vet minimum. I'll go over there and play. Brady's going to lure a lot of free agents down there. I think people are going to, there's going to be a couple of people going like this, eyeballs wide open. Like, are you serious? They're going down to Tampa? Just like JJ Watt, for instance, right?
I don't think he will.
But I'm saying, just for instance, because JJ Watt might be like, I want to play for a contending team.
Yeah.
Hey, JJ, just come down to Tampa, take a vet minimum, come get a ring, then see you later, go somewhere else. He could do that. Like Brady can lure people down there. Great weather to play in. You know you're going to win the division next year. You know you have Tom Brady that wants to go to another Super Bowl.
It's so intriguing. Like, I feel like Florida's the destination, not alone, just because Tampa Bay is like the city of champions at the current moment, the center of the sports universe. Like, you got, like you said, gorgeous weather year round. I was down there. I was down there in January with Jay, and it's just 70s, 80s, and sunny year round. There, you got no income or state income tax. You're pocketing in so much more money.
We always say that Brady, and this is 100% true. Brady was the one luring the players in, not Bill Belichick into New England. 100%. So it's kind of like LeBron James. Like, LeBron wasn't luring players into Cleveland. Like when he went back there, it wasn't like he was luring people over there as free agents.
No one wants to play there. Nobody wants to go to Cleveland.
But
I think Draymond Green said it better.
He went to Miami. People want to play in Miami. Exactly, he went to LA. Exactly. People want to play in LA. So
no one in their right mind just goes to Ohio. You gotta have some good reasoning to go to Ohio.
It's gonna be very interesting this offseason to see, between New England and Tampa, who gets the better free agents? Who do they lure? That's what I want to look at this offseason.
It'll be interesting because I think
Bill's got the money. Bill has the money.
Exactly.
Brady's got the rings.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is it's kind of interesting where you're going to see what kind of mentality these guys are having. Like, if they're still chasing a bag, you may be able to go to New England, especially if they part ways with Stephon Gilmore's contract. Cause that's still a pretty heavy one. That's still shocked a lot of people when he first signed that one. If Belichick ends up dealing him in the near future, that's a lot of money that also becomes available, along with what, $60 million in salary cap that they still have available for this upcoming season alone. So I am really intrigued to see exactly what the Patriots do. I'm not sure if they're going to make something splashy or how they're going to excite me for this upcoming season, but I am excited for football to come back and see what a new look Patriots team looks like for the first time in a while.
I'm far from an athlete, but if New England offered me $9 million guaranteed, but Tampa offered me $5 million, I'm going down to Tampa.
That's
because that four million, I can make that up knowing that we're going to go to a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
knowing that I'm on Tom Brady's team, knowing that I play in Florida and I don't have to play in cold weather, and I don't have to listen to Bill Belichick. These are the things that it's going to be a very interesting offseason. And boy, I think Tampa Bay is going to make some splashes in free agency.
I totally agree with you. Just to go back to the Super Bowl, what was your first reaction? Give me your reaction when you saw Gronk catch that first touchdown, and then when he did it again.
Did I not say that if you didn't pick Brady or Mahomes, who the MVP would be? And I said Rob Gronkowski plus 6,600. I said I think that would be a great, and he obviously didn't win it. But the fact that he caught that first one and then the second one, people were DMing me and messaging me like, oh my God, you called it. Because I said he'd probably have multiple touchdowns.
And that was in the first quarter, wasn't it?
It was all him when he got the 14 points. I mean, 14-3 or 14-6, whatever.
Still 10 Super Bowls later, Tom finally got a touchdown in the first quarter.
Tom was going after the guy that he trusts the most. And it was Rob Gronkowski. And Gronkowski had a couple big plays just down the middle or off to the sidelines to move the chains. So it was fitting that Rob Gronkowski got the love in that game, and he deserved it too. I mean, it was a thank you for coming out of retirement and coming playing for us.
That's what made the game more enjoyable for me too, is just seeing those guys whose names I know. Like, I'm not familiar like with the offensive linemen. Like, I could name a handful of offensive linemen up in New England, like some of the guys on our defense. But when I look down at Tampa, I just see it's Tom Brady, it's Gronk, it's Antonio Brown. It's like guys that I used to cheer for. But I can still do that now since they're down there and in the Super Bowl and on the biggest stage. Like, why not cheer for them? I got nothing else to cheer for other than the national anthem going Over.
And again, the another thing was Antonio Brown getting a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like it, that's like, it culminates from everything that's happened the last 2 years.
His life's been on a downward spiral.
Yeah.
Touchdown in the Super Bowl. He's back.
And it talks more about Tom Brady's character in terms of Antonio Brown, to look at Tom Brady, to be like, that guy stuck with me through thick and thin.
Totally.
Believed in me. Even when I got kicked out of New England, still wanted me to with him, waited it out, waited for that opportunity. And again, good for Antonio Brown to, although he's got demons in his life and personal problems, that it got pushed to the side, and he, what if he figured it out or not, it went away and he was able to come back into the league, get his feet back in there, get his feet wet. He didn't even play in the NFC title game. He was out that game. Wasn't even, I think he was a healthy scratch, and was able to play in a Super Bowl and catch a touchdown. So, I mean, he's forever grateful, and he's somebody that a team could offer him money, but a team might not want his headache.
Right.
He's someone could take another pay cut and just stay in Tampa for another year or two.
Do you think that's a great point, is do you think he's one of those guys that's going to stay in Tampa and take a pay cut? Or, I feel like he already took a pay cut to go there in the first place, but I think his performance in the postseason, he has earned a little more money if he wants it elsewhere.
The way I look at it is, it's very hard to bring a guy like that with his character and his ego into a different team, because now he's a Super Bowl champion. You know he's going to be flashing that ring in your face, but don't talk to me that way. I'm a Super Bowl champion. I want a Super Bowl. Like, that's just kind of like who Antonio Brown is in certain ways. The way I look at Tampa Bay and their best option is, you have some of your guys that are already rostered, that are already have their contracts through the next couple of years. They might restructure their deals. They'll take a couple pay cuts. Like, Chris Godwin is not going to New England. Like, they're going to franchise tag him. If anything, they're going to try to work out a deal with him. Gronkowski's going to come back on some sort of minimal deal. Antonio Brown's going to come back on some sort of minimal deal. Even Tom Brady might restructure his contract and sign an extension and push back money for another year if he knows that all these guys are locked up. So I think winning the Super Bowl in the first year you're down there, that's so key. Because now you have really everyone bought in. You have everyone bought in. And now you can kind of go around to everybody and say, hey, if you all take pay cuts, we can keep the same exact team. We could probably bring in more people here, and we could probably run this back and do it again for a third straight year. I mean, Tom Brady wants to go for the two, like, he wants to go back to back.
Yeah.
He wants to do that. And the last person to do it was Tom Brady. How fitting would that be? And then when he goes back to back, guess what? Let's do a three-peat. Let's do the unthinkable three-peat. And they have the possibility to do it with the team that they have down there.
It's still, like, I still can't wrap my mind around, like, how great Tom Brady is. Like, you look at his greatness, and you still can't comprehend it. You look at, this dude went from the New England Patriots to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are just coming off a first round pick, Jameis Winston, that went like 6-10. He replaces a dude that threw 30 picks and 30 touchdowns, takes that almost that exact same team with a few additions to a Super Bowl. It doesn't make sense. Like, how he was able to do that is still mind boggling to me, but good for him. Like, I was cheering for Tom all the way. I'm not sure if you were, but great for Tom.
I also look at it like, Tom didn't game manage them to the Super Bowl and game manage the Super Bowl. Like, he was out there slinging the ball. He was out there getting yards. He was out there doing work. And another thing is, just like Super Bowl 53, like, that wasn't a given to them either, because they had to go into Kansas City. Like, yeah, they beat up on the Chargers, and they had to go into Kansas City and win that road game, which was so tough to do it. And again, that's just Tom Brady being Tom Brady. And then you look at it, their first three games. I mean, Taylor Heineke, who was like pushing them to the limit in the first game. You had the New Orleans Saints, who could have ran away with that game. They kept it close, and Brady makes the comeback. Yeah. And then even the three picks in the NFC title game, and let Aaron Rodgers get the ball three times in a row, and Rodgers couldn't do anything. I mean, there is some sort of luck into it, that the cards do fall in your favor. And of course they fall in Tom Brady's favor. But it's just interesting, because he probably does know at the same time, we could have easily lost that divisional game. We could have easily lost the NFC title game. Like, things sometimes don't go our way. But I mean, the fact that he's now 7-3 in Super Bowls, and I'm so glad that if he truly did get drunk on the parade, he deserves that. It made me think about Teddy Bruschi for a second, because remember when they won Super Bowl 53 and Gronk took the trophy and he dented it? A traditionalist like Teddy Bruschi hated that, because he says it's a joke. it makes the trophy, like, you know, not as prestigious as it should be. This is what so many guys are dying for in the field out there, is to win that trophy. And you got a guy like Rob Gronkowski holding it and using it as like a bat. And he said that to me directly when we were out at one of his Teddy's Teams event for Jake Santos. I would like to hear his story now for Tom Brady throwing the trophy, because that's kind of disrespectful. It's
thrown
it?
Around a few times.
Isn't that kind of disrespectful, Teddy Bruschi? Now, here's the thing. It's Tom Brady. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying that I'm going against it, but.
But when you got seven of them, why not?
I know. So it just becomes
another piece of metal on the shelf, you know?
It reminds me of Stone Cold Steve Austin when he used to go to the ring and you take his belt and just throw it in the ring. He didn't care about the championship. The championship didn't make the wrestler. It's the wrestler that made the wrestler. If you
that analogy, but I'm sure someone out there gets that. You Google that
and you make a little video about it. I'm telling you, Stone Cold used to come down to the ring. He'd hold the belt, just drag it. He would throw the belt in the ring. Like, he is the WWF champion. Doesn't matter. I'm the WWF champion. I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it's a similar with Tom Brady. I don't care that I want to suit. I'm Tom Brady. I am Tom Brady. I am the best quarterback out there. That's what it felt like when he just throws the trophy. He's like, get this garbage out of here. I don't need this.
He doesn't need that one. He's already on to next year.
I'm gonna get next year. You know what I care about? I care about the ring. Yeah. I care about the ring. I actually am very interested to see what their ring looks like. Are they going to try to go bigger than the New England Patriots? Because the Patriots used to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. Are they going to try to outdo the Patriots? Because if I am the owner of the Tampa Bay Bucks, because it comes down to the owner and the owner has to pay for it. They only get allotted X amount of dollars for the rings by the NFL. I would want to make that thing so freaking huge that when Brady has his hands out,
you can't see the other six.
Yes. Yeah. Like bright, like they have that Tampa Bay red, that crimson red, yeah. Like make that stick out, make that one look way better than the other six. Cause that's a little kick in the ass to the New England Patriots.
That will be interesting. I'm curious now to look back, cause I'm pretty sure that was the Bucks' first playoff win since they won the Super Bowl in 2003 with John Gruden. So I'm curious to see what their playoff statistics are like right now, and saying like, hey, the last like two times they've made the playoffs and won their first game, they've gone on to win a Super Bowl. That'll be some interesting stats to nitpick for next season.
I have a question for you.
What's your question?
If Tom Brady and the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl with the Patriots.
Right.
What would they have done for a parade in Boston?
Oh,
would there have been a parade?
They may not.
We got to see the ultimate parade down in Tampa, wide open, no mask. We're still in the middle of a pandemic. Yeah. It doesn't matter. And he got to celebrate, and rightfully so. He wouldn't have been able to do that in Boston. Would there have been a parade?
You'd go down the Charles River this time.
Would they just do the Charles River?
Hey, I mean, the duck boats work, man.
And that's it. Would he be getting junk on the duck boats? Like, oh, the same
not,
thing
not in New England.
The cold weather.
It's cold and nasty.
But then Charlie Baker would probably say, no, we don't want anyone grouping up. We don't want anyone getting sick. It made me think he made the best decision to go down to Tampa, just even COVID. He made the decision right before COVID like really hit. And I'm sure he knew something already. I also want to say, lastly, about the Super Bowl, because I know we can go forever about this. This is somewhat political. Tom Brady made a statement Super Bowl week. In the Super Bowl and the days after, because he didn't wear a mask. He doesn't care about COVID. And I can pin this back to last year. He believes in TB12. He believes in his immunity enhancers. Although that his father had COVID and was deathly sick for 3 weeks, you think that would at least make him want to wear a mask and use his platform out there to say, hey, you know what? There is something going out here. Let's make sure we're protected. No. I think it was Kamala Harris's niece went on Twitter and said something about him when he arrived on Super Bowl Sunday and walked in without a mask, went right into the stadium, was walking around without a mask. And then look at the parade, just walking around, not giving two shits, getting drunk. For the platform that he has with over 9 million followers on Instagram, 2 million on Twitter, and just being the greatest quarterback of all time in the middle of a pandemic, when you look back on pictures of this season and you look at Tom Brady, he never wore a mask. He never really did any of that. You would never even know it was a pandemic season for him.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to forget it ever happened. So,
I think in Brady's mind too, although he won the Super Bowl, I think on the lowest end there, he won the whole mask thing, like of COVID and not believe. Truly think he's a non-believer. I might be speaking for Brady here, but just look at the timeline over the last year of what COVID precautions. Remember when they said, oh, we don't want anyone outside. What did he do? He got everyone at the park down in Tampa and got everyone together and started throwing around. Like, he didn't care.
He's just a workhorse. That's where that one came from. Just to wrap up Super Bowl talk, give me your way too early prediction for next year's Super Bowl. Who wins it? Who loses it?
The Patriots are plus 3,700.
The Pats aren't winning the Super Bowl next year.
No. So Kansas City is going to, like, I'm going to go over AFC and then NFC. So AFC, of course, you Kansas City, you can't sleep on them. And I think I might just pick them. And I know that's kind of stupid, a cop out. The Baltimore Ravens definitely need to get there too. And I'm going to say Ravens and Chiefs need to meet in the AFC title game. And
I want Super Bowl.
I know. I'm just trying to talk myself into this, where it's going to be. I'm going to pick Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And then on the NFC side, I'm going to pick Brady. I think we might see Brady versus Lamar Jackson. I'm going to pick the Bucs to go back to back. I said this, and I'm not going to go against what I said before. So that means the Bucs won't win because I'm picking them. And if you notice the trend, like, if I don't pick them, they win and I'm picking them. But I said this before, Brendan, I said, if they don't win it this year, they're going to go next year and they're going to win it.
Yeah. Why not both? Porque no los dos.
Thank you for educating us for this. there's no way the Bucs cannot get back to that Super Bowl. They're going to do it. And because, like, that team went 11-5. They're going to get better. They're going to get better. Brady's getting his knee done. Like, he's going to be better. He's going to be a better quarterback. He might throw 50 touchdowns next year. He's going to go for some stats next year.
That's why I like these way too early ones, because granted, I do want Tom there again. I'm not going to pick the Bucs solely because this is one of those way too early things. I just want to overreact about something that I've seen, and I just want to pick something that's not going to be right. Like, yes, it'd be cool to be right, but it'd also be even cooler to be right in a way that no one else is maybe thinking at the moment. You kind of feel me there?
I feel you.
Yeah, like your Ravens thing. Yeah, exactly. Like, you like choosing Ravens instead of Kansas City.
Ravens
kind of like that.
Yeah,
so I'll choose. Granted, you should never bet against Tom Brady. I would advise anyone on the planet not to bet against Tom Brady, because you will lose money at some point. And I'll probably eat my words here in 11 months from now. But I'm going to say the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Rams are back.
I like that.
I'm going to say those two teams meet in the Super Bowl. I've got no reasoning behind it. I mean, I like where both their heads are at. I think they have potential. So, am I high on that pick? Not very. I'd say, like, if that were to happen, it'd be like, give me a 2% chance that happens. Well,
I think Rams Bucks in the
it's
NFC
not out of the
title
it's
game
not
is,
out of
it's,
the
it's,
impossible,
it's
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, it could totally Stafford's happen. First year there. I think it's a good pick. I think I absolutely like that pick.
All about about moving quarterbacks. Why don't we jump into the rumor mill, get it turning, because I've been on Twitter, I've been on Instagram. Every day I see a new jersey swap. I see a new rumor spreading on like legit sources on Twitter, like from guys with blue check marks saying, oh, this guy, the Patriots got their eye on this guy. Patriots are interested in this guy. Patriots have given this team a phone call to see what's up with this guy. What's the latest that you're hearing? Because I know you got even more sources than just me on just browsing Twitter on a weekday evening. What is the latest you're hearing about potential for Patriots quarterbacks in 2021?
So, like, you're right about the rumors.
They're everywhere.
People, every single quarterback, every single free agent, they're all coming to New England. Like, everyone's coming to New England.
I got Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson right now. I've heard Jacoby.
People need to realize this too, that the people that have the blue check marks, like the Jeff Howes, the Tom Currens, the Mike Reeses, even, they need clicks too. They need to talk about something and put something out there. Just how I was so adamant about the whole Matt Stafford doesn't want to play in New England. That's the only place I don't want to play. That's bullshit. That's clicks. And what happens is, because he's a legitimate news writer, people are going to take that as legitimate news and they put it out there. So there is a lot of bullshit out there. So the way I'm going to break this down is, I was listening to Felger and Maz earlier this week, and this was a great debate between what Felger brought up. And this is about the quarterbacks. he went through Tom Brady through 2012 to 2019 and his percentage of the cap and what Robert Kraft, they went back in the time capsule, what Kraft would say back in like 2013, 2014, when they just signed Brady to an extension mm-hmm. and how they handle it as an organization. And what he said was the Patriots do not want to spend more than 12.5% at their quarterback position on the cap. And they ran it down. So Brady's numbers, and this is not the exact numbers, but they were like 9%, 8%, 9%, 10%, 11%, 12%, 9%. It was like that. So Felger then brought up Jimmy Garoppolo and said, if you want Jimmy Garoppolo and you did a trade or whatever it was, he's $25 million a year. That'd be at 13% of their cap. So that's actually going against what they were doing for the last freaking.
It was against the average, but it's still like the margin's still there.
The margin's there, but it's going against what they believed in. And also that means Jimmy Garoppolo was making more of a percentage than Tom Brady was. So it's just these little things right there.
Yeah.
So they said, you take any of these trading options, throw them out the window because the Patriots aren't going to spend the money in the percentage at that position.
It's not out of the question that a guy like Jimmy could be cut though.
Yes, and they could pick him up and they could sign him for cheaper money and restructure a deal. Absolutely. Anything can happen. And it's a game right now that it's a slow moving game. You got to wait for the dominoes to fall. But I just want fans to understand that that's why they're not going to get a Deshaun Watson. That's why they're probably not getting a Dak Prescott. They're not going to get these big names because they don't want to spend the money there. Number two was that Bill Belichick makes about 20 to 25 million a year. That just came out this past year. A couple months ago, it got revealed. Belichick probably doesn't want his quarterback making more money than him. He wants to have the one up over the quarterback towards the owner. And that kind of made sense because if Brady makes more money than Bill Belichick, then he can go to the owner and sway more things. Well, I make more money here. I'm the guy, not your coach. So it's something right there. Cam Newton, his name keeps getting brought up. He went on that kid's Instagram, Gillette Turnup, and said, I wish Cam Newton would come back. I'll support you to win a Super Bowl. And then Cam wrote and said, say less, which is a cool moment for that kid who runs that account. But like, I don't care what you say, Cam Newton, just because you write something on Instagram that holds no weight to it. Cam Newton saying, I would happy to be back there in New England. You'd be happy because 31 other teams are still going to pass up on you. And no one's going to give you the chance again. Cam Newton is still option Z. It's just right now, if we're in an alphabet, we're probably at the letter like M or N or O. Like we're starting to go down the line, like option A, like, you know, B and C and D, like that's all out the window. We're getting closer to the end of the alphabet.
This is getting my gears turned a little bit. So who would have option A been for in your mind?
Option A would be Tom Brady come back.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, why not? Hey, anything's possible. Why not?
Option B would be let's trade for Aaron Rodgers. Well, that's not happening. Option C is let's get Deshaun Watson. Well, that's not happening.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
I heard Drew Brees might be available.
Yeah. Option D was Andrew Luck coming out of retirement and then coming to New. So we're going down the alphabet here, and I will give Cam Newton still the door's open because we have to see what happens in free agency. I am adamant that the Washington football team is going to get Cam Newton. Because I think the way they're doing it is they just signed
Rivera team up again.
Yep. So I think what Taylor Heineke just signed an extension for 2 years or 3 years, whatever it is. He's a backup. He's not going to be a starter. It's like a 3-year, $8 million deal, whatever it is. He's not their starter, but he could be capable of being a starter. Yeah. The best thing for Ron Rivera, and he's a smart guy, draft your quarterback this year, whoever it may be, bring Cam Newton in, have Cam Newton there for at least a year or two. You guys, they're buddy-buddy. They get on the same page. They know each other. But you also go to Cam and be like, hey, we have our guy here, whoever it may be. This is our future. We're going to let you run it for this year. We'll see what happens next year. I think that might be the best option for Cam Newton. And I think that's very likely. I think Ron Rivera will give him that last shot.
Yeah. I know we talked about the Pats cap. Do you think that Bill's going to be aggressive this year?
I don't think so.
No.
I feel like that was, again, another Tom Curran piece.
Yeah.
Going to be unexpectedly aggressive, like never been before. And I think we're not going to see that. I truly don't think we're going to see that. I said this. Belichick's got to be very careful on every move he makes, because if he makes the wrong move,
people are going to nitpick him this year. Yeah.
But not only that, the team falls apart.
Yeah.
You still got guys like David Andrews who's sitting there in free agency. Who's not going to decide right away, because he's going to be like, who's my quarterback? Who am I handing the ball off to?
That's fair.
And I'm going to tell you this, I don't think David Andrews is a big fan of Cam Newton. I don't think that offensive line is a big fan of Cam Newton. So just from what I hear. So I think that if, hey, Cam Newton's our quarterback, I might go somewhere else. You know, yeah. You never know. I think right now what we have to do is we just literally have to wait till March. We have to wait till free agency. As I said, I think the greatest option that we have available is draft a quarterback. Doesn't have to be the first round pick. It could be the second round. Bring Stidham into camp and get a veteran guy, another veteran guy, someone that's beatable for Stidham that he could try to beat out to give him some confidence. Roll with Stidham this year, but make sure you're grooming whoever that backup is. Make sure they're getting groomed for 2022. Yeah.
So when we're rolling into this offseason, like it's going to be slow to start. And I know we've had a few splashes, like the JJ Watt just got cut. Do you think before training camp starts, do you think the Patriots have a guy who you look at and that's your week one starter? Or do you think it's going to be a competition going into that training camp where a guy's going to have to win that job?
I think Bill always will say it's a competition.
Right, right. But do you think, like in the fan base, do you think you're looking at the Patriots?
No, you'll know who.
Come October, September.
Well, here's the thing. We thought that last year. We'd sit him until June came, and then all of a sudden it just changed out of nowhere. So going into training camp, like the first day of training camp, so let's say the end of July, you're going to know who your starter is.
Okay.
I mean, similar to people, they knew that, Cam Newton's starting. And then you had the Jared Stidham fans like myself saying, no, it's going to be a competition, which it was until it wasn't anymore. But I really think that you're going to know who the starter is by free agency and by the draft. And I think they're going to stick with that way. I think I'm supporting Stidham. I'm staying with him. I just think that he's had 2 years under the system with the Patriots. I know everyone hates him.
I don't hate him. I like the kid,
he hasn't had his fair chance in 2020.
Yeah.
He just, and I don't care about these coming in late in games. We can go.
He did come into a interesting situation in New England with Tom in his last year up there. But
when preseason comes, when it's preseason, the first week of preseason, Stidham will get the first reps. Like he will be the starter. Like that doesn't matter if they bring Cam Newton back, it'll be Stidham probably end up getting that first reps because they need to get him reps to get in there. I'm just interested to see some of the moves. Like I want to know what Brian Hoyer is going to do. Like someone actually wrote on my Instagram saying I do electrical work and I installed wiring for Brian Hoyer's new pool in New England, which cost him about $150,000. What I want to know what I got to Google that $150,000 pools.
That's pretty cool. That's gotta be like one of those shows on like Discovery Channel or something. It's got like the waterfalls and slides something.
Well, Hoyer said preseason last year that I'm not going anywhere. So the guy was pretty much saying, I'm backing you up saying that Hoyer's going to stay here as a coach. Like he's not, or maybe he comes back another year.
He hit him with the Jordan Belfort. Player, love to see it.
So we got to wait and see till March. Like, I don't think we're going to know anything. I did talk to my guy.
Your source? What'd your source tell you?
The Hightower's still out. That Devin McCourty thing, and I ranted about that, and I said that I don't believe that. I think it's bullshit. You just because you hear from a player doesn't mean anything. And I waited a couple days, and then I talked to my source because someone came to me and was asking me about it. You know, higher up in the media, like what you got. And I went to my guy and I asked him, and he said, he didn't know about the Devin McCourty thing, and I showed it to him, and he laughed at it and goes, it's bullshit. He's like, I said, is he gone? He says, yep. Like I'm telling you, he's not coming back.
Interesting.
I'm gonna stick with my source because my source has been right more than he's been wrong. So.
you gotta know when to trust and when not to. But Celtics play basketball.
Celtics should tank.
Hey man,
I think the Celtics should. How's Utah?
Utah was fun. Thanks for asking. It was a good time up there.
You were up there. You were sitting up there.
Hey man, it was a long drive, but tickets are expensive. Because there's not a lot to go around right now, but
you couldn't sneak down.
No, I just stayed up there. It's because they got like duct tape over all the seats that you're not allowed to sit in.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, but yeah, we made a little video for it too. That'll be coming out soon about the trip and the journey up there. But Utah's a different world, man. It's mountainy. It was cold and miserable, but
I said on the GRD, account that they'd go 2-3 on the West Coast trip. That's perfect. I was right about that. Perfect. I got that right. West Coast trip, it's hard. It's not, it sucks, it's not easy to go on a West Coast. Yeah, it's not going to be easy. It's like going down to Texas, too. It's not easy winning those three games in a row. Them losing to the Pistons.
That one sucked.
That hurts.
That sucks yesterday.
If they lose the Washington Wizards, if you're listening to it today and they already lost to them, the Celtics are in trouble.
What?
The Celtics are in trouble. Now, yeah, they don't have Kemba. They don't have Marcus Smart playing. And the team's not fully. What did I say so many times? This team needs 20 games in a row where everyone is 100% healthy. But it's going to be too late, Brendan, by the time that they can finally get together and get that chemistry going. You got to get it. You got to get going soon.
See, that's what I saw in – this has been a common trend for this season. I was up in Utah. I got to see the Celtics play a great first half against a dominant Jazz team who have only lost, I think, 5 games. You can count that on one hand. I don't know if that – it's 5-6. It's not – it's single digits. It's good for first in the NBA and the Western Conference. Celtics held their own. Celtics came out shooting lights out. I mean, when you start a game shooting like 80-90%, you're not going to keep that up. The problem the Celtics have been running into is they can't defend. They can't guard a parked car right now. Every team, if they have that bona fide star like Donovan Mitchell, for example, that guy's going to be able to get to his spots anywhere. But against the Celtics, Donovan Mitchell was finding his spot. So I think it was the same thing against, we were talking about Pistons. Pistons yesterday, the rookie Sadiq Bey, who came off the bench, found his spot, went 7-for-7 from three-point range. Who does that? Steph Curry doesn't even do that. And this rookie comes in and does that for the Pistons.
Had a hot night.
Against the Celtics? Excuse me? That's not supposed to happen, but I know Danny Ainge was talking about what they're looking for. If they are looking to make a move at the trade deadline, which is quickly approaching, coming up in March. I think it's been pushed back to March based on scheduling and whatever. But Danny Ainge has openly said they're looking for shooting and size. And if those two come together, it's a match made in heaven. So the names that I've been hearing bouncing around or Harrison Barnes. I mean, even on the broadcast last night, they talked about the potential of bringing Jeremy Grant in. That's size. That's 20 points. And that's your starting forward if you brought him in. So it will be interesting. I think the Celtics do have a trade coming up. I'm not sure what it's going to look like. They got a lot of young pieces that are ready to be moved to a team that is actually rebuilding.
Simple question. Are the Celtics going to win a championship this year? We're about a quarter of the way into the season, right? We need a little bit more than a quarter.
Yeah. We're approaching halfway points the end of.
Are the Celtics going to win a championship with the team that they have right now? Not
with the
pre-trade.
Team they have today. Today, the year of our Lord, February 13th, 2021. Boston Celtics will not win a championship with this starting lineup. I think there is a change coming. Well, just look. You're not going to win a championship with when you're starting Daniel Tice and Tristan Thompson at your 4 and your 5. I mean, granted,
why wasn't that addressed before the season?
I couldn't tell you, but I think it was a good experiment, but the double big lineup as Celtics Twitter has dubbed it doesn't work. It's got a terrible plus minus. Like granted, Tice has kind of become a shooter. He's kind of like the Aaron Baines type now, where he's becoming that stretch 4, stretch 5, and he knocked down like 5 threes against Utah. So he has that capability. Can he keep that up? I don't think so. He's not going to be 7-for-7, not like Sadiq Bey. But that double big lineup doesn't work. I think one of those guys will either transition to the bench. I'd expect Tristan Thompson because he's just dominant on the boards. It's something the Celtics – we've talked about this on shows like go back maybe like 30, 40, episode 40 – talking about how the Celtics can't rebound. Tristan Thompson's that guy that can rebound. He's down there. He's pit bull in the paint, in the trenches, fighting for extra possessions, extra tips, extra putbacks. That's the type of player he is. And it's been working for the Celtics. But when you have a guy like that at your 4 and your 5 spot, it's not going to work. So there's a trade coming. I'm confident in it. We said it during the draft, but now I'm even more confident in it.
The Celtics, they need their fans back. At home.
They need some energy.
they need energy on that team. They even if they lose, they need people to actually boo them in front of their faces and be like, "You guys suck. Like, what are you doing?" They need to get that spark.
Like, that's I can say firsthand, when I was in Utah, that was the first game I've been to this season that actually had their own fans there. Like, Tampa Bay doesn't count. You don't got any. No, they don't.
That's the tourist.
Utah, life. When the Celtics got down by 10, and like it was a 4-point game with like 5 minutes to play. When Donovan Mitchell started lighting it up there, it got electric. Like, I had wished I was at a home Celtics game at that point, because you actually got to see, like, that was the first time I'd been in a real sports atmosphere in the last calendar year with the pandemic. And you look at a game like that, and a team just takes off in the fourth quarter. That's what you want to see. You want to do that in front of your home crowd. And having the Jazz fans there, I guarantee that played into that run that the Jazz had at the end of that game, because it was intense. It was electric. The fans were screaming. It's got to be a great feeling, especially not having fans for the longest time and having a guy so talented. Electricity is important. Like, fans in the stands is important for that team's success. I think that's why you look at some of the teams that in the bubble. Like, it was just weird seeing the Miami Heat, who are still like maybe a year or two away from contending year in and year out, seeing them in the finals like that, like a year early. They didn't have any fans down there to increase the other team's advantage. There was no home road advantage. So that's why you saw that in the bubble. And I think now that fans are slowly starting, I think you maybe have fans in 30-40% of the stadiums right now. It's important to have them there if you're the home team. If you're the president, CEO, whatever of that team, if you're Wick Grosbeck or whatever his name is for the Celtics, you're doing everything you can to get Celtics fans back into the garden. I'd say it's like a 3-4 point swing. Like, that's an extra point, extra possession that doesn't happen normally on the road. And you get that at home, it's a big deal.
It's a small percentage of what goes into the whole entire game. But even the fact is, you're pumping in this crowd noise. It's not the same when, you know, the opposing team shooting a free throw, because people are going to say things, are going to do things. It's just, and it will be actually more funny when it's just 1,000 fans or 1,500 in
Boston. You can yell right at them and they hear everything.
They hear everything. So you know how awesome it would be in Boston to end.
That's what was fun about Tampa, is no one was cheering for the Raptors, even though they were the ones pumping it in. You could just yell anything down at Nick Nurse that you wanted to, and he would hear it. You know, he heard it.
Yeah.
I'll put it like this.
That's what's going to be great.
Electricity versus electricity. You know what I mean? The fan noise, the fake fan noise, it's electricity. But when you get real fans in there, it's electric. You know where I'm going? That's what I'm saying, man. They need fans back there. And I think you said it at the beginning of the show, it's coming. So hopefully the second half of the season, I don't know what the when or where the schedule is going to drop, because the NBA did release the schedule in two different parts. So we should be getting that schedule here, I'd imagine, in a few weeks, because you look at the schedule, you only got games scheduled up until like March 1st and 2nd right now, before that's kind of the all-star break. And then whatever the second half of the season is going to look like, all the
do you think they might take like a 2-week break?
They may, just, depending just on kinda, what COVID looks like.
Yeah. Or just like kind of a 2-week break to be like, everyone's kind of in quarantine. Right. Like, well, let's take a break. We'll take a break from everything.
I'm not even sure the all-star break, all-star game's going to happen. The all-star break will definitely happen.
They shouldn't have the all-star. I mean, the all-star break should be a 2-week thing. Like, just to have everyone kind of rest up a little bit, get a little bit healthier.
I got to sneeze. It's the first time on a show, I think. It went away. But I think the NBA, which is a weird thing to say, should take a note out of what the NFL did with their Pro Bowl weekend. I don't think the NBA should be playing an actual game. I know like guys have talked about it. If LeBron says it, it goes. LeBron said they don't want to have a game. It's dangerous. They don't need to play unnecessary games if they don't have to. So I don't think it's going to happen. I think guys, exactly like what the NFL did, they're still going to honor the players that received the votes, received the level of all-star voting that was required or whatever. They're still going to be acknowledged as having that accomplishment of being an all-star. I think they'll get like a cool jersey and everything, but I don't think they're going to play an all-star game.
People loved the Madden, like the Madden play. The NBA can just do the same thing with
2K. They could play 2K.
They just play 2K. Why
not? Play as themselves in 2K. Yeah.
Let it loose. Let everyone laugh. Like, talk have smack a good time.
To each other. Yeah.
That's, yeah. It worked. And I think that's actually something I thought about the Pro Bowl for the NFL might just continue doing that every single year. And because people will watch, love watching other people play video games. So
I think it adds another level. Like, I love watching like the mic'd up, like seeing what players are saying, like especially the NFL, the NBA ones. I think you're going to get another level to that if that becomes something that they do, because I know, like we were talking about the Pro Bowl, you actually get to see these players' personalities. Like, you look at some guys in the NBA, like, I don't know what their voice sounds like. Like, you look at just say a random player in the Celtics, like if not like Tatum or Brown, cause they're always interviewing or something. But if you look at a guy like Jeff Teague or Javonte Green, Javonte Green's a better example, a player that a lot of Celtics fans know who his name is. They know what he's capable of. Like, he's the guy throwing down flashy dunks. I've got no idea what that guy sounds like. Like, I've never heard that guy talk. Like, he's not quiet or anything. He's not a superstar. He's like end of the bench type player in Boston. He's all-star athletic ability, but I don't know what he sounds like. If you got a guy like that on a microphone, like playing 2K against some other NBA players, you're going to see some personality come out. You're not going to necessarily see when they're just playing basketball and you're watching on TV or in the stands and can't hear what they're saying. So that's that. Go Celtics. No all-star game, but I'm confident that a trade is coming. We'll kind of start wrapping up here. Final thoughts. We need like a dramatic, like, bum bum. Like, you ever seen Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah.
How dramatic it gets. We need kind of something like that, to end the show. Like bum bum. Closing thoughts, final thoughts, something like that. What do you got for us today, Babs?
My closing thought is that Boston's big three, which has been Boston's big two.
Wow, where's our...
Do we have to change our name soon?
Big three, big three flows. We got a logo.
You commit to it already.
Yeah, we're in. We're almost at 100 episodes. We can't change the name now.
I know. So it's the off season for the Patriots in football. Yep. Although we'll have some football talk here and there. We have the Celtics season going on. We have the hottest team in Boston, the Boston Bruins, going on. But soon, the Boston's big three is going to turn into the Boston's book club. Because Brendan
Watabe, and it's not going to be boring. Like, that sounds boring, like, immediately. No. When you say, like, we're going to do everything we can to like energize this and make it fun.
And for those at home that are listening on Apple or Spotify, I am holding up the book The Dynasty by Jeff Benedict. I was given this copy by the author a couple months ago. Have not opened it yet. Have not even read a single sentence in this. Being the Pats fan of the year runner up, we did a giveaway. We said, hey, you got to listen to us to get what you want for prizes. And guess what? You didn't claim it. So guess who gets the prize? He wins. So I shipped off another copy of Dynasty to Brendan. He's going to have it by next Saturday. Our goal, I don't know how many chapters this is.
We can do a chapter a week, probably. Well, keep it easy.
Chapter. It should be a little bit more than that. Let's see. I'm at the index. Let's see how many pages there are here. Our whole goal is to read this together.
Oh yeah. You
know, homework assignments.
Just to be clear, we're not going to be like in front of our books on a podcast, just reading it like an audiobook. We're going to come to each episode having read a full chapter, kind of like where we would react to like a Patriots game. We're going to come back and react to that chapter.
There's probably
48 chapters.
There's 48 chapters in there.
God.
And then there's like obviously a intro or something.
We might have to
like
do two
that.
A week.
So the whole point. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, no, we have to do more than that.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 44. That's a year long process.
And you do two, that's 22. Like we'd have to do three chapters a week or four chapters a week, which I've been it's 500 pages. And I've been told that it's a very easy read and that you'll get sucked into it. Like, you'll spend time reading it. This special book, for the ones that actually like to watch us on YouTube, for our 20 viewers over there, was actually signed by the author.
Hey, Jeff.
And it says to Brian, Go Pats by Jeff Benedict. And the conclusion of our book club,
we're
going to
be
having Jeff on here. So that's the whole thing. So what do you mean you ruined the book?
Do you spoil it?
I tried folding it. And then
did the Pats win the Super Bowl at the end?
Actually, I don't know. So, my point of my story here is that I posted about having this book on Instagram. It said I was going to start doing it on Instagram and start talking about it. But then this was right before Christmas. And then people are like, I'm getting it for Christmas. Like, can you not post anything? And people don't want to have spoilers. So listen, if you're listening to our podcast, you're going to know like there's spoilers coming. Like we're going to talk about those first four chapters. We're going to talk about those four chapters. We're just going to talk about the Patriots. We're going to talk about, you know, the 90s, whatever gets brought up. And then it leads up to having Jeff Benedict on here and us three will come together and we'll talk about the book entirely. And I think that's great off-season content enough to get us.
We'll have some Patriots to talk about. Yeah.
We'll have Patriots. Some Patriots will go in the glory days. Like the Dallas Cowboy fans do. Like that's what we're doing here on Boston's victory.
Speaking of glory days, before I get to my final thought, they traded my guy. They traded Andrew Benintendi away. I was on my drive back from Utah when I got the tweet that said, the Sox are going to trade Benny. Like it's going to happen today. And I was like, oh man, just to make a long, like a 10-hour drive. And we're like 8 hours into it. And he's, they're going to trade Benny. Dang, man, that sucks. My favorite part is, like I was talking about the glory days. That Sox outfield is an all-time outfield. You go back to the 2018 team when you have Andrew Benintendi, Jackie Bradley Jr., and Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts won MVP that year. Jackie Bradley Jr. won the ALCS MVP. And Andrew Benintendi went like – he had almost hit 400 in the World Series. That was an all-time – the Killer Bees. Like, they won a World Series, but Killer Bees down in Pittsburgh didn't win anything. So we got that going for us. But I will miss Andrew Benintendi. I got that jersey signed. I don't know if you can see it, but it's signed back there. I swear. You look like me with the squinty eyes. But thank you, Andrew Benintendi. Good luck down in Kansas City. It really is the end of an era for the Red Sox after trading away Mookie and Andrew Benintendi, but it does open the door up for bringing a guy like Jackie Bradley Jr. back to Boston. So hopefully something happens and we get him back, but they already gave 16 away to one of the guys we just traded for. So Benny's definitely not coming back anytime soon, or Mookie. Jackie is still a question mark, but my final thought, I made chocolate chip cookies for the first time, like in my new oven. It was pretty good. Made my whole apartment smell like grandma's house. It was awesome. So go to Walmart, buy some baking goods and make yourself some cookies. Hey, you're muted. So I'll just keep going. Those chocolate chip cookies, they were something. It was like one of those prepackaged ones where —
that's what I asked, if it was prepackaged.
Yeah, you don't have to like make the dough or anything. I was popping the cookie dough. I probably ate like 25% of the cookie dough and just made the cookies, you know.
You have to. Yeah. You do that on purpose to make room on your,
exactly,
on your baking sheet.
Exactly.
I actually made cookies last night. Lucky Charms. Nice. Lucky Charms makes cookies. Cookie
Wait,
dough.
What?
So I saw that at the market and I ended up buying it, and it was awesome. I mean, it's like eating Lucky Charms. Marshmallow, like they had the marshmallows in it.
That sounds magical.
Magically delicious.
Magically delicious in a cookie form now. I might try to get in on that. I'm going to have to go to your local Market Basket or Big Y.
Have out there?
I just go to Walmart. We got one called Walmart. Fries in Phoenix. It's Fries and Bashas. What else? Fries, Bashas, Albertsons.
Yeah, Albertsons is actually Stop and Shop.
Is it the same one? Okay, I grew up with Stop and Shop. Okay.
Like Albertsons, like, I think, is like the main one. And
like Kroger or something like that. Yeah, I grew up with Big Y and Price Chopper. Market Basket came in like my last year I lived up there, or like maybe like 4 years before, but something like that. But thanks for rocking with us. Episode 92. We'll be back at some point next week, maybe with a third guest.
Who knows
at this point? It's probably just going to be me and Babs for a while, but you never know. We'll see you guys next week. Do the — what's Antoine Winfield?
Irene.